What I wanted to talk about is the many hats that a father has. There's so many roles that he has to play. And I heard this little saying that said that a boy will love his mother, but he follows his father. And so both roles are so important. The one thing I just want to stress before I even go any further is that God is always talked about as a father, but he has both the roles of a father and a mother. You know, I'm so thankful for my role of my dad is because he always loved my mom. I heard my parents argue once in my whole life. That's unheard of. In my household, it's unheard of, at least. Do you know what I mean? So it was it just pretty amazing. And I found out they had arguments. It was just behind closed doors. You know what I mean? So they just didn't do it in front of us kids. And so I had such a great example of what it should be that my dad was kind of, and I'm going to get into this later, is the disciplinarian, so my mom could be the one who loved on us. And it was really neat. But today I just want to look at the many hats and the roles of a father, especially in this day and age where deception of the devil and the distortion of him and the importance of the role of a father, or even just a godly man. Because as I say father here, I don't want to tune out the ones who are not fathers, because to tell you the truth, it's the role of a godly man that is pretty much the same as a father. You know, if we look to what Jesus was, he was the Son of God. He always was showing and pointing to what the Father was like. He did everything the Father told him to so he could be the picture of what Father God really is to us. And so as I say this, just know that when I say Father, I'm meaning men, okay? Just so you know. So in this day and age where the devil has brought the blurred lines of what a father, what a man is supposed to be in our society, we need all the more to have that truth unblurred. And we need to, but being in a part of this, you know, imperfect world is the hard part, because the world is always going to try to blur and distort who you really are as a man of God. 1 Corinthians 4:15-16 says, "For if you were to have countless of tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. I exhort you, therefore, be imitators of me." Paul was saying this. And what I think he's really trying to say here is that you can't be your best without learning from the best. And the best is Jesus Christ. And so he has to be our example of what a man of God is, what a father really is. And so he makes what the world confuses and what the devil has brought confusion and blur, he brings truth and clarity to it. And so that's where our source has to be. In John 15:5, it says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." So I just want to just stop and just pray right now. Lord of God, we just thank you because apart from you, we can do nothing. That, Lord, we can try to strive to be the best. But, Lord, without your truth, without your power, we can't do it. Without your cleansing blood, there is nothing that we can attain here on earth that is going to stand. And so, Father, we just thank you for this time together and thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit just to enlighten us and to open up our hearts. We just confess anything that would hinder the word from being sown into our hearts, Lord. We just ask you to cleanse us, forgive us, and just open up our hearts to what you would have to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so to find out what's best, and we have to learn from who's best, okay? Learn from the best. So we need to look at the solid truth of who Jesus Christ is. And it all begins back in the Garden of Eden, and where it says, the man, and I have my little four L's, okay? So the man is to leave his father and mother. He is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He is to lead and be head over his family. And this is a Boyd Britton expression. And he is to learn his children something. My boys had Boyd for baseball, and he never said, "I'm going to teach you something." He says, "I'm going to learn you something." Okay, so I had to keep with my L's, and so I thought, oh, perfect. I'm going to learn you something. So it's a big responsibility. When you look at all of that, you have to leave, love, I mean, you have to, yeah, leave, love, lead, and learn. So it's a big responsibility to be a man of God. And you may think, I have too much. That's just too much responsibility for me, that I have to always watch over everybody else. But one thing I want to be encouraging to and let you know is that your Heavenly Father is always watching out for you. He is always equipping you. He would never ask you to do a role that you couldn't obtain to without His power. But you see, He wants us to always be tapping into the truth of who He is and who we really are in Christ Jesus, how He created us to be. And we can't do that if we try in our own strength. But when we surrender to Him, that's when we receive it. So now I have my five P's. So we're going to look at the five P's of the hats and the different roles that fathers play in our lives. The first one is He is the provider. The provider can't just think of himself. He can't be selfish. He can't just do what he wants. He has to think about his family, the food, the shelter, the insurance, the keeping up on the everything, all the activities that your kids want to do for fun. And just, he has to be in charge of all those things. And when man started and he sinned, he opened up the door for the job to become work and took the joy out of the job because of our curse. The curse said, by the sweat of your brows, you are going to have to work now. And so that happened, and then Jesus did. He sent Jesus, and Jesus did something great. He took the curse, and he broke the curse so that our job doesn't have to be joyless, but that it can be full of joy again. So that when we work, he said man was created. In Matthew 11:28, it says man was created to work. So in that's not where it said it. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy, my load is light. I really believe he said that for men. Because you do have a heavy responsibility to be that provider. And so take his yoke, and he's going to turn your work into joy. And it's not going to be a negative, it's going to be a positive. Kids, wives, don't take for granted all that your husbands or your dads do for you, how hard they work. I'm just, you know, so thankful. Brad, he is probably one of the hardest workers I've ever met, and he's always made me feel very secure and very provided for, and so I'm very thankful for that. The next P is the protector. And yes, that means he needs to keep you physically safe. And that's kind of a given. Yes, you don't want your kid to put their hand on a hot stove. You know, you teach them and you train them. Don't walk out in front of a street and stuff. But that's not really, I don't think, totally what he's really talking about here. I think he's really talking about not just keeping them physically safe, but he wants to keep them spiritually safe. Because if you keep your child spiritually safe, you're going to keep them physically safe. So it's talking about protection from ungodly influences, selfishness, and lies of the devil over our children's hearts and minds. Deuteronomy 4 talks about how we are to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our spirit, our mind. And it says, and then we are to train up our children and teach our children all these things. And we're supposed to, when we walk with them, talk to them about it. When we sit down at home, we're supposed to talk to them about it, to teach them how to love the Lord. And when we rise up, we're supposed to talk about it to them. And when we sit down, we're supposed to talk to them about it. So it's just constantly saying, teach him how to love the Lord. Teach him how to love the Lord. Teach him how to love the Lord. And so God is trying to get that because that's what's going to protect them. I have some wonderful scriptures if you want to take these down. Because as parents, we can become warriors and protectors. You can't go everywhere your child goes. And you can't be around all the influences that they are influenced by. But your prayers can be because God can be. So when you pray the word, you are piercing an arrow right there, and the presence of God is just being moved. And so these are some scriptures you can write down that you can pray over your children as a protector. Psalms 91:10-11. It says, for no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling, for he will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. I pray that over my kids every day. Thank you, God, your angels are over them, that you are going to keep them from any plague that would try to attach itself to them. Psalms 103, or 101, verse 3, this is a tough one. And this isn't one I've normally prayed, but I found it, and it kind of convicted me too. Set no worthless thing before my eyes. How do we guard our kids? What are they watching on TV? What are they listening to? What are they seeing on Facebook? We are in charge of being their protectors, to guard what do they have coming into them that's influencing them. Then 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. I don't have to be the faithful one. God is the faithful one, and he is going to strengthen and protect my kids from the devil and his ways, the evil one. And so those are good scriptures that you can pray as the protector of your family. Because as a protector, you have to warn them, pray for them, and watch over their hearts and their minds. Kids, parents are not trying to wreck your fun when you say, everybody else gets to do this, but I don't. You can just see that your parents, and remember, your parents are protecting you. They're guarding you. They're keeping you safe, and that is a gift that when you get older, you are going to be so thankful for. Because I'll tell you, so many of us have gone down the bad path. We say, I wish I would have listened to my parents. Do you know what I mean? So don't be upset when you hear that your parents are saying no to you. Okay, the next one, the pruner. In John 15, 1 through 2, it says, I am the vine, the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he must prune it so that it can bear more fruit. Well, I'll tell you, pruning isn't fun because it means you get something cut away. All right? And that's kind of the discipline, the disciplinarian in your, or the corrector in your life. Hebrews 12:1 says, discipline for a moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. And I think we can all understand that. Yes, it does. It's not fun. Yet, those who have been trained by it yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Righteousness means right, good, the right thing. Something that's positive, not something that's negative. And so, he wants to have the fruit of righteousness in your life. My dad, like I said, he was the strong disciplinarian. You did not mess with mom. Mom did not spank us. Mom did not really even yell at us. She just said, okay, I'll talk to your dad about it. Those were like words, you know. Because when dad got home, dad dealt with us then. All right? I remember one of the things he made us do was hug and kiss. He's like, okay, you guys want to hug and kiss? Oh, no, we're getting along fine. We're good, you know? Didn't want to hug and kiss. He also had a paddle, you know, but I got the paddle passed down to me, too, so I got it into our family. It's got a couple names on it. Hey? Got actually three names on it, and one of them's not Kaylee. All right. It's not Brad either, just so you know. Okay, some of the things, though, discipline doesn't always seem fun. My dad would never let us quit something that we started. In gymnastics, my dad was a gymnastic coach. Everybody, I had three siblings ahead of me. They would go to state. They got medals. They were amazing. And then came me. And I had to do gymnastics in high school. I got out of 10 points, I got a 2.8 on the uneven bars. That's not good. You know, so I'm just kind of like, oh, let me quit. I'm like shaming the banky name. You know what I mean? It was horrible. And my dad's like, no, you can't quit. You're just going to get through it, and you're going to work hard, and you're going to do your best. And that was no fun, believe me. We would have to do vaulting, and we'd always sprain our ankles, and we would have eggs on our legs. And his little comment was, come on, do it again, just get it right. I'd be like, gymnasts live in pain. That's what he always told us, gymnasts live in pain. Let's go. And he seemed like he was so mean. But you know what he was teaching me? You don't give up when things are hard. You have to see things through. You don't just quit. Another rule that he had was, I don't care how late you stay up on a Saturday night, but we're getting up at 7 in the morning to go to church. Doesn't matter. If you live in my house, that's what we do. And you're there. So even in our first year of marriage, we had a rough first year of marriage. And I can remember calling my dad and saying, I think I'm just going to come home. And he goes, nope, you can't. You're not welcome here. That was tough. But you know what? When I looked that first year of marriage as Brad is my enemy, because I stuck it out, turned to the Lord, he turned out to be the greatest blessing in my life. And that is not a lie, because I saw the God move in my life. And I'm thankful that my dad was that, you know, pruner, that he pruned my life. So kids, discipline and correction are actually a blessing in disguise. So even though you might not be happy right now, it is going to make you the kind of person you really want to be, where you don't just give up, where you really know how to come through a trial and not just give into it and let the devil beat you up. The next step, the pattern. I read a story where a man was crossing a field to a tavern, and he looked behind him, and he saw his son. The boy said, look, Dad, I'm following your footsteps. The dad immediately turned around and walked back home. They're always watching us. Our kids are watching us, and it's hard to do what I tell my kids to do. There's been many a time where my kids would say, well, we can't do that. You don't let us do that. I'd be like, oh, yeah. I have to repent, and I had to repent in front of my kids. Say, you know what? I'm sorry. You're right. Forgive me. So there's just those moments, you know, because we don't want to just tell our kids how to live. We have to live that life and be that pattern for our kids. I read in this one congregation did a survey over like 20 years, and they found where parents that were both faithful to the Lord, 93% of their kids remained faithful to the Lord. When there was only one parent faithful to the Lord, it dropped to 73% of those kids remained faithful to the Lord. And when it came to both parents being occasionally coming to church and being faithful to the Lord, it dropped to 6% of those kids remained faithful to the Lord. Our kids are watching us. Something Pastor said in one of his sermons not too long ago really hit me hard. And I thought, wow, that is so true. He was talking about our kids and how we want them to be successful. We want them to succeed in life. We want them to have nice things. We want them to be, you know, good examples and just have it all. But if we push for that and for them to be the best in this world, but we don't care about their eternity and their eternal salvation, that's not good. Because if they go to hell for eternity, but they had a great time while they were here on earth, it doesn't do any good. So be that pattern, be that example, hold that pattern up in front of them so that they can walk in it too. And lastly, the priest. I have to make sure I didn't miss anything. Okay. Lastly, the priest. The priest is the one in the Old Testament who would hear from God and serve God, but he also then heard from what God said and then shared it with the people and served the people. And so in 1 Peter 2:9 it says, you are the chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God always has good things for us. He's never trying to push us down. He's always trying to lift us up. You need to serve as priests, serve your family in the truth of God's word. That's got to be your foundation because you can't do it without it. A positive person is nice, but if they don't have the word of God, it's just words. It really is. They can be a nice, living a nice life, but you have to have the word. God has to be the center. God has to be the one that we yield to, surrender to, and obey, and love with all our heart. The role of a man is not an easy thing. It's a tall order. And to be a father who knows best has to be the father who knows God as his heavenly father. I have a brother who came into the family when he was 17 years old. My sister and brother started a youth group at we were at the Lutheran church, and started a youth group there, and he came to it, I think, when he was like 13 or something like that. And then I started helping out with the youth group, and we really came to love this kid, but he came from a very rough family. A lot of alcoholism and, you know, just neglect. Parents had gotten divorced. The dad didn't really have much to do with them, moved away into a different town. And the mom was getting remarried, and it was his senior year in high school. And the husband that she was marrying, the man she was marrying, said, "I don't want him in the house with us." So she had this huge four-bedroom house, but he couldn't live there. So she told him to move out. He wanted to stay at the high school where he went, and so he moved in with my mom and dad. And that's how he kind of became a part of our family. And when my dad was dying last year, he drove 7 hours to come, and he just wanted to make sure he got to tell my dad this. And he said, "Dad, I wanted to tell you that it's because of you I know how to pick up all my clothes and to you know, be the man that you made me to be, and the husband, that I watched how you loved mom, that you showed me what it meant to love your wife. And you gave me so much good advice about raising my children and being consistent and not, you know, giving in." He said, "Without you, I wouldn't be this man." And it just really touched me. It doesn't matter if it's your biological. You got to see that, men of God, you can make a difference in somebody's life, whether they're really your children or not. You have an impact. You have a role to play. And when I was driving up to get my mom, I really felt the Lord told me that I was supposed to ask any men who really wanted to surrender to their heart and their life, to that role of who the Father wants you to be as a godly man and a father to the fatherless, because that's what God is. God is a father to the fatherless. And I want you to stand up in your seat there. And as you stand up, I really felt the Lord told me that his anointing was going to fall and bondages were going to be broken and the past was going to be healed, and that his anointing was going to just pour out on you as you stood up. And so I just want to ask you right now, any men who wanted to stand up and just get prayed over and just ask for the anointing to come in and touch your heart and life, do that right now. All right, let's just bow. Prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. We thank you that you are our true Father, our example, you're everything. And without you, we can do nothing. I just lift up these men to you, Father God, who are standing. By your blood, you have dealt with all their past, that, Lord, you are bringing healing to both their hearts and their minds. That, Lord, the old is gone and the bondages are broken. I just thank you that you would let the anointing of the Holy Spirit fall fresh on them right now and equip them for the call and the plan that you have for their life. Lord, as they surrender, as Jesus always surrendered to you, that you are going to lift them up and open up new doors for them. I just praise you and thank you for the anointing and the power of Jesus to fall fresh in their lives right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts." You guys, you don't have to do this alone. Your role is not overwhelming. You're equipped to do this. You're called to do this. And you will feel the power and the joy of doing it when you surrender to him. Amen.